Welcome on in to the Wasatch Basketball Podcast. I am your host, CJ Dieters. We have the first big trade of the draft and off-season period. Bradley Beal is heading to the Phoenix Suns to form a big three alongside Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. We'll break down this trade. We'll talk about future ramifications for both these teams, especially the Wizards, as it looks like they might be heading towards a rebuild. And talk about, is this Suns team actually good enough to really compete for a title, or did they kind of screw themselves by bringing in one massive contract and now they don't have much flexibility? So, first off, Michael Winger got hired on as the GM of the Wizards. Ted Leonsis, the owner of the Wizards, gave Winger the ability to really build this team around Beal, Porzingis, Kuzma, and really see what that team can do. But he also gave him the freedom, which he did not give to Tommy Shepard before, to if he felt it was the right way to go, to tear this team down and rebuild it. And it looks like that's the way that Michael Winger's decided to go with this team, which I think is the right decision. The Wizards are a team that are constantly just chasing like the sixth seed, and they're just never a team that can put together enough talent to really contend in the East. So it'd be nice to see them actually tear this thing down and see if they can actually become a contender, especially, you know, you get a few years down the road, you know, maybe Tatum decides he wants out of Boston, you know, Embiid out of Philadelphia, or stars start to age or whatever, you know. So going to the Suns is Bradley Beal and Jordan Goodwin, who is a young defensive minded point guard. Bradley Beal is, of course, the main part of this deal. He is a just turned 30 shooting guard. Has made an all NBA team before, made a lot of all-star teams, very efficient scorer, decent passer, decent rebounder, not the greatest of defenders. Going back to the Wizards is Chris Paul and Landry Shamet, and then second round picks. We don't have any type of confirmation on that, but there have been reports that it could possibly be like every second round pick that the Suns have to offer, which is, I think, like seven. And then like a first round pick swap somewhere in the future. So this will leave the Suns with zero draft compensation. They'll have zero first rounders to deal out. They'll have no first rounders to deal out because they sent out a ton in the Kevin Durant trade. But they now have this big three of Durant, Booker, and Beal. So now the big question for the Suns is that enough? Is that enough to beat Jokic and the Nuggets? Is that enough to beat LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the Lakers? Is it, I'm trying to think of contenders in the West right now. Is that enough to beat Luka, Kyrie Irving, whatever they put together in Dallas? Or if the Timberwolves can figure things out this summer and become the team that they're supposed to be, can they beat the Timberwolves with this team? Can they beat a healthy Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, Pelicans-led team? Can they beat the Warriors, the Clippers? I think if all these star players involved are willing to make a little bit of a sacrifice, if Booker's willing to go down to 25 points a game instead of 27, same with Durant, if Beal is okay with being the third guy and going from being a 27 point a game guy to a 20 point a night guy, I think they can make it work. But one of the big things that this team now runs into is they are extremely expensive. With those three guys plus DeAndre Ayton, they are above the tax. They're going to be above that second tax apron that the league just added with the new collective bargaining agreement. They have very little flexibility moving forward to add to this team to make changes. Like I said, they have zero draft compensation left. It sounds like DeAndre Ayton is still on the trade block. They could be looking to move him, which I think is a good idea. I think what they need to do is try and turn DeAndre Ayton and his big contract into two, three, maybe even four solid role players. Like he's been linked to the Mavericks quite a bit. So if you could turn him, if you could trade him to the Mavericks and turn him into Reggie Bullock, Maxi Kleba, JaVale McGee, and I'm trying to think of what else they have on their roster. But anyway, let's say it's even just those three guys. So you add a wing in Bullock, you add a combo big in Maxi Kleba that can defend, that can hit threes, and you add a good center in JaVale McGee. I think you're in a lot better position there than with just keeping Ayton. Or maybe it's to the Spurs. You know, you give the Spurs a center so that Wembanyama can play the power forward. And in return, you get, let's say, Doug McDermott, Devonte' Graham, and I think Kem Birch still has a year left on his deal. So Kem Birch. So you add a center, you add a wing that can shoot, you add a guard. You know, that's what I think the Suns need to be looking to do with DeAndre Ayton to really fill out this roster. Because other than that, you look at this roster, they have those four guys under contract still. Man, they really don't have much. Like Jock Landale is a free agent. Bismack Biyombo is a free agent. Darius Bazley is a restricted free agent. I think Torrey Craig is free agent. Josh Okogie and Damian Lee and Cam Payne and TJ Warren. I don't think they have much guys that are coming back. But to fill out this roster, all they're really going to have is a taxpayer MLE, which will be somewhere around 7 million, which I think you can break that up. You could give it, you could basically bring in like two guys at 3.5 million per year instead of one at 7. And then after that, you're down to minimums, which with Kevin Durant being on this roster, with them having this big three like this, you're going to get guys that are ring chasing, guys that are looking to win a championship. Maybe you bring Terrence Ross back on a minimum, and then there's it's going to be older veterans that are looking to get a wing before or get a ring, rather before they leave the NBA. So the Suns are going to be a really interesting team to watch this offseason to see just how they fill the rest of this roster out, what they do with DeAndre Ayton. So now moving on to the Wizards, like I said, it looks like they are kind of going into rebuild mode. Kristaps Porzingis has 1 year left on his deal. Before Tommy Shepard got fired, it was sounding like they were going to sign a big extension with Porzingis and go forward with Beal and Kuzma and all that. Now it looks like Porzingis is probably going to be out too. I am imagining he's going to pick up his option, pick up that last year of his contract, and then they're going to be looking to trade him. And I think they can get a return for him. He had a great season this last year. He was one of the best rim protectors in the league. He was knocking down threes. His offense has grown. He's really bulked up, especially since the time he was a rookie. But even over the last few years, you know, he is a solid center now in the league. You know, and he's still 7 foot three, 7 foot four, somewhere around there. So teams that I'm looking at that could be looking to pick him up. What's funny is he makes sense. He makes a lot of sense with the Mavericks, which is where he was before he got traded to the Wizards, because they decided that him and Doncic weren't going to work out. He actually could be a really good fit with the Miami Heat. You had, you know, because Bam Adebayo is an amazing defensive center, but he's only 6'9". And for the last few years, they've been pairing these like 6'6" power forwards next to him. What if you paired Porzingis next to him? All of a sudden, you have this amazing defense down low. He has the ability to space the floor. That one's interesting. I think the Jazz could be interested in him. And then all of a sudden, you have the biggest front court probably ever with 7'1" Walker Kessler, 7'3" Kristaps Porzingis, 7 foot Lauri Markkanen. You bring back Jordan Clarkson, you figure out your point guard position, and away you go. I think Portland could be an interesting spot for him. I don't know exactly how you work that trade out. Maybe it has to be like Anfernee Simons and Yusuf Nurkic or something like that. But anyway, I think Kristaps Porzingis is going to get sent out. The one thing that sucks for Michael Winger is, again, they had planned on bringing back their three main stars in Beal, Kuzma, and Porzingis. Well, Kuzma is a free agent. They had the ability to trade him at the trade deadline. Could have gotten probably at least two first round picks for him. But now, really, the only way you're getting a return for him is if you do some sort of sign and trade. Now, one thing that they could do, because rebuilds take time, is you could sign Kuzma to like a 4-year deal and basically just tell him, like, hey, go out, put up big stats, look great, look awesome out there. And at the trade deadline, we'll move you. We'll try and get you to a contender, but at that point, we'll move you. That could be a strategy there. But I think more than likely it's going to be Kuzma picks somewhere in free agency, and the Wizards are hoping that the other team will work with them and do some sort of sign and trade so that the Wizards can at least get like a trade exception out of the deal. Maybe a pick or two, like one first or 2 seconds or something like that. Or maybe you get a solid like veteran in return. Like, again, I look at the Jazz. Could the Jazz be interested in a guy like Kuzma to pair with Markkanen and Kessler? And back in return, you get Kelly Olynyk, who is just a really solid veteran to bring around your young guys as you try to rebuild this group. He'll play his role, he'll do his best. And then at the trade deadline, you could even get value back for him. But yeah, this Wizards team, it's going to be a little while before they're really looking to push back into the playoffs, but they're going to be really active here as we get into the draft, and then afterwards, looking to reshape this team and start looking ahead into the future instead of just this next season. Other than this big trade, there's been a lot of rumors, and that's just the way it is when you get close to the draft. There's been a lot of smoke around that the Pelicans are in love with Scoot Henderson and have talked trades with both the Hornets and the Trailblazers about moving up to either 2 or 3 that involve Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram. Which is incredible to me. But both those guys have had a lot of injury problems in the past, so it kind of makes sense. Especially Zion Williamson. Zion's not played that many games at all in his career. Although when he has played, he's been an MVP level player. It's just, if you have an MVP level player and he only plays 20 games, then it doesn't really do you any good. But there's been a lot of smoke around that. There's been rumors that the Bulls have been asking around the league about possible Zach LaVine trades, just seeing what his value is. Which I don't expect anything to happen there, but maybe in one of these calls when they're looking around, seeing what people's value is, maybe there's a team where they just kind of blow them away and they just go, yeah, let's get a deal done. And then if at that point, if that is what happens with Zach LaVine, he ends up getting traded, I could see the Bulls being a team that decides to kind of tear things down, like the Wizards are doing now, and look forward into the future, not bring back Vucevic, who's a free agent, find a trade for DeMar DeRozan and kind of go forward from there. Karl Anthony Towns' name has been put out there a lot, but I really think that the Timberwolves want to see what Rudy Gobert and Chris, and Karl Anthony Towns can be going forward. Along with a budding star in Anthony Edwards. So I'm not expecting much to go on there. Damian Lillard's name is still out there. I know the Miami Heat were trying to get Bradley Beal. If I think they would probably be the number one contender to get Lillard. If the Trailblazers decide to make him available for trades. I think the 76ers could be a team involved also in trying to get Damian Lillard. The Celtics, the Jazz possibly, but I don't see them deciding to go really all in on Lillard. The reason I brought up Porzingis earlier with the Jazz was Porzingis is going to be 28 this next year. Lauri Markkanen's going to be 26. So you have matching timelines there, and then you still have all these young guys. But anyway, I'm sure as we get closer here to the draft, which is this Thursday, June 22nd, we're going to hear a lot more rumors. There's going to be a lot more smoke. But the thing is, there's always a lot of smoke, but is there fire? Is there going to actually be deals that get done? There's been a lot of years where there's just so many trade rumors going on, and everybody's just so sure that all these guys are going to get traded and there's going to be all this movement. And then the draft happens, and there's like, two or three trades, and none of them involve these big time superstars. Of course, we already have a Bradley Beal trade, So there's already been a star moved. And again, there could be a lot more moved, or it could be really quiet. Who knows? One big reason why there could be a lot of movement, though, is star players no longer allow themselves to get to free agency. Teams have figured out that, you just got to sign these guys to extensions, even if you're overpaying them. Because you can at least in the future trade them and get something for them. Like the Wizards overpaid Bradley Beal when they brought him back on this contract, but they were able to at least get something back from it. Now, was it a huge return? I know. But if it's really these 7 seconds you're getting back, like that's a good return. Like those are valuable. And then, the rumor is that Chris Paul is going to get moved to a third team. It looks like the Clippers are probably the most likely. So you take back from the Clippers a couple of contracts, you're not going to get anything big from them, but maybe you get a few more seconds to add to your stash there. But star players no longer allow them get themselves to get to free agency. Their teams no longer allow themselves to get to free agency. And so the way to get big time players, not even big time players, to get the third or fourth best player on a team is to trade for him now. And so trades have become a lot more common space in the league. So that is a big reason why there could be a lot of movement at this draft. And especially because we're seeing GMs and coaches get fired a lot quicker than what they usually would. So I think GMs and coaches might feel a little under the gun right now to like, hey, we need to put together a winning team right now. We don't have time to wait. But with that, I'm gonna go ahead and end this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. I'll do my best to get out a mock draft before the draft actually happens. I have one written out. It's just, will I get the time to put it out? But again, thank you all so much for listening. We will be doing an episode during the draft, doing analysis on the draft like we've done in years past. So be looking out for that. All you have a great day, and bye!